Hello and welcome back to another episode of DU Locker Room Talks. So we're going to keep it going with our coaches appreciation segment. And I'm joined here with AJ Moyes, one of our coaches on the DU men's soccer team. And we're just going to get to know him as an individual, his background with soccer, memories that he's had with his players, things that he's learned from coaching, as well as if he played. And then just get to know him. So we're just going to dive right into it. But so when did you come to Dominican? When was your first season with the guys? What was your background prior to soccer? Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a really cool thing that you're doing. I'm glad someone has started this and happy to kind of be a part of it. So thank you. This will be my third year here at Dominican with the men's soccer team, and came in the summer of 2022. So graduated from college in December 21, was out for playing soccer for a year and a half, then got right into coaching. And then this was my first full-time assistant men's soccer coaching job. And then working with Eric Bauman and his staff. It's just been great. So yeah, this will be the start of my third fall season here at Dominican.
Okay. So you mentioned that you played as well in college?
Played in college, played at Wheaton College.
Okay.
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow.
Grew up there. Went to Wheaton College, played there for 4 years. Loved it. Loved school, loved soccer. Met my best friends there. Some guys that I still live with who were teammates of mine. Loved it. And then knew I wanted to kind of stay coaching in the D3 world, in that level, just because I related to it a little bit more culture-wise and fit-wise and, you know, the quality of life and people and the balance of school and soccer was something that I loved at Wheaton, and I knew Dominican could offer similar, if not better, so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you mentioned that you're, like, freshly out of college, so how do you think you relate to your players a little bit more than, I guess, our older coaching staff that we
have?
Yeah,
definitely. Maybe freshly, maybe not freshly, but...
A little bit fresher.
Pretty fresh, yeah. I think it's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's very cool that I'm similar in age. I think what sets me apart a little bit more is the experience and the way that I communicate with the guys. I think that they can relate to me a little bit more. If they've got a question, maybe it's in a different tone or a different way of saying it, maybe than to another, you know, older coach, which I think is a really good balance because Coach Bauman is a lot older than I am. We share a lot of the same ideas, thoughts, tactics, ideas of the game, players, how things should be run, intensity, pressure, demands. But I think where we balance each other out is, and it's not a bad thing, but it is the age gap, to where we're both on the same page about everything in our communication style, but the way about going through it and around it and meeting it with these guys is definitely what I think sets that apart a little bit and gives the guys a little bit more room to speak about things. Obviously, I'm not like generationally far from my team at all, so I kind of get what they're feeling and I get what they're going through, or I have gone through everything that they're going through. And especially in a time like this with society and stuff like that, I won't get deep into that, but I feel like I can see what they're thinking more times than not.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Did you know that soccer was going to be a part of your life for so long?
Forever.
You did?
Forever.
Okay.
I played soccer growing up. I loved it. Every picture of me as a kid was me smiling with a soccer ball. My mom took me out of soccer, so I should try other sports like basketball, baseball, and I'm not smiling in any of the photos. So I knew soccer was going to be, that's the inside joke in our family, was I needed a soccer ball to smile. And I loved playing other sports. I was athletic. I loved running around. But soccer was just always something different. And I think soccer offers a lot more for me and my family than any other sport did.
Did anyone else in your family play soccer?
No.
Just you?
No, it was just me. So I'm English, like British, but I don't have an accent. My family of four are the only ones without accents in my entire family. So we're kind of the bottom of the barrel, and every family reunion is just crazy because they're all coming from England. So everybody knows about soccer in our family and has played it except my family of four, and then I finally started doing it. So
yeah,
we are English. Soccer runs in the family.
For sure.
Not my direct and immediate family, but yeah, we're the only ones without accents, which people say is pretty lame. And I think so, too. I think it would be a lot cooler if we did. But
you wish you had one?
I wish it every day.
Do you think you could, like, raise your voice with an English accent, though? I don't know.
I think people would think I was joking. Or it might be a bit if I tried to do an accent now. But, yeah, I do wish I had one.
Yeah, I know.
Not going to happen, though. I couldn't fake it. That wouldn't be me.
So you mentioned your family, it runs very deep. So do you have like a favorite team or like somebody you looked up to growing up in soccer?
I never had a favorite team. I watched any and all team. I think it's funny how everybody's favorite team now is just a top six Premier League team. Like with just no relation, everybody just picks a club that is, you know, top of the league every single time, which is just funny to me. But I never had a team. I had a coach in college who clipped up Liverpool all the time from their tactics and their pressing and the way that they played because he loved them. I mean, he even named one of his children after a Liverpool player to that point. Yeah, so I watched a ton of that film all the time. So I would say Liverpool, but I just love the way they press, they run forward, passion, fighting, like all the stuff that has nothing to do with soccer that makes them a really good soccer team. I like that. And so I've just been accustomed to it. I grew up looking at that film all the time from my previous coaches, and so now that's kind of what I lean towards and use. But yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm like a diehard of any other team. My family in England is from like the Wimbledon area.
Oh, okay.
So, but that's not like a soccer rich place. That's like famously the tennis.
Yeah.
Tennis and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
But yeah. No, not tied to any sort of team.
So I guess like going back to your past with soccer. So how did you use what you were doing as a player into your coaching style? Like what was something you found in your coaches that you had that you wanted to maybe use into your coaching? Or how did you get into coaching? Like, why did you want to do that?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I think for me, I was never the best player. I was never the most talented, but I worked the hardest every single time, and I knew that. And I knew I worked harder than everybody on the field every single time, and that's what my coach instilled in me. And then from when I was 14, I played in, it used to be called the DA, Developmental Academy. There's so many leagues and clubs now, but there, you know, I made it just because I worked really hard and I listened to whatever I had to do and I would just do it. And I wouldn't, you know, have an excuse. I wouldn't complain. I would just go out and do it. And I think that's what allowed me to go much further in soccer than I probably could have gone on my own. I worked harder. I was with a ball every single day. Like, you couldn't take me out of an empty gym and just hitting the ball against a brick wall for an hour and a half, literally. Like, that's what it was. Or I'd drag people out to the field with me. My sister, who doesn't play soccer at all, she would come out three times a week. I would pay her some days to go out and just throw me a soccer ball in the air, and I would take it down. And she'd be frowning the whole time, but I'd give her $10 or I'd buy her a smoothie or something like that. But like, I just worked harder, and that's led into how I coach. And I think you can learn a lot more about life that way and doing things that way. I think now a lot of people are spoon-fed things and gifted things without earning anything, and I teach my guys, you know, entitled to nothing, grateful for everything. Like, no one deserves anything. And you got to go out and work and go out and earn and just be grateful for everything. So that's how I coach, because that's how I played. That's how I was coached. That's all that I know. Mm-hmm. And yes, tactics come down to it and fitting in puzzle pieces. But at the end of the day, like, I'm never going to have to coach somebody's effort, work rate, and their attitude. And so those are the first three check marks that have, or boxes that have to be checked before we even walk out to a field.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, you mentioned how you feel like you've worked really hard in your own athletic career, but, like, do you think that your age also, like, has something to do with you working hard, too? Because, like, I mean, for the viewers, you said you were 25?
Yeah.
So do you feel like that's something that people kind of maybe misjudge you, maybe not having, like, a ton of experience? You know how it is? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'll know until, like, 10 years from now. But I think, you know, you could either spin it one way. I'm young, so I'm lazy, or I'm young, so
yeah,
I can work harder and for longer. Well,
you're, like,
more
right
energy.
In the middle. You're, like, right in the middle of, like,
yeah.
I don't even know. What is that, like, Gen Z? Like, millennial?
I have no clue.
You're, like, right in the middle.
I don't know. I don't even know if I want to know the words. But yeah, I'm kind of right in the middle. I grew up, like, I was a younger birth year. I was a 99, and so I always played up. And so all my friends were older than I was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that definitely doesn't make me more mature. Mm-hmm. But, it, you know, I grew up playing with older guys and older men, really, when I was a boy. So, mm-hmm. like, I had to learn fast, or I would just get swallowed up and chewed and spit out. So it was, I had to survive. I had to rise to the level. I couldn't play to my own standard. I wouldn't make it. And then in the pros, like, past college, like, when you graduate high school, you're 17 for the most part, and you're automatically playing against 21, 22-year-olds. Like, I remember a game at Wheaton, and we were playing a team, and it was their senior day, and one of their goalkeepers brought out his daughter for senior day, and I was like, that man has a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm a freshman. Like, that is a man. That is a adult. And I'm 17. Like, I can't even, you know, vote. So I'm like,
and
this man has a kid. So yeah. I'm like, I gotta grow up fast. And, like, it's not my fault. Like, I can't grow or age any faster than time and patience will allow me to. And I think, you know, that's a big learning curve and a big learning lesson for our guys. We brought in a ton of freshmen this year,
mm-hmm.
who were at the top of their high school team as a senior. They were at the top of the totem pole. They were the best on their team. They might have even been a captain. And then coming here, they're immediately at the bottom as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it's not, if you're a freshman, you don't play, regardless of whatever year you are. If you earn it, you play. We've had plenty of freshmen start. I'm just talking about more like the learning curve and really acclimating to college soccer, because it's so much stronger, so much bigger, so much faster. And so it's a lot for some guys, and that's what I had to learn too when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And for the viewers, I'm not, you know, the tallest person in the world, so I had to work even harder. I got short legs, I had to run a little bit faster, I had to put on a little bit more muscle.
Yeah.
And work. Like, I wasn't as gifted as, like, a 6'3" center back. I had to figure out ways to get onto a soccer field that a lot of other guys couldn't.
And not everybody is 6'3".
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me. They want to say. Everyone who's my height who says they're... The height 5'11 doesn't even exist. Those people got to go.
You don't think so?
No.
You think it's just 5'10 and then 6'?
You're either 5'10 or 6'.
I feel like 6' is also a little silly, though, no?
I think the people who are 6' are actually 5'11. And because 5'11 doesn't exist, they're 5'10.
Well, okay. I mean, I feel like usually people say that anyways, just to kind of make them give them a boost or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I guess just kind of more talking about you, though. So what did you major in college?
I was a communications major.
Really? How do you think you're using that in your coaching?
Oh, or, like, a lot of people
kind
of make fun of the communications major,
uh-huh.
and I would make fun of it myself, but I think it's the most applicable major. I had so much fun And I'm an extrovert, so I talk with people all the time. And I love talking with people. But that major taught a lot about how to communicate when, what people mean, where they come from, what they're going through, conscious and subconscious. Like, I think all of that is about life, and communication is basically life. You need communication to be a coach. You need it to be a great teammate. You need it to be a good husband or a wife. Mm-hmm. You need it to be a good son or a great daughter. Like, mm-hmm. you need it. You absolutely need it. And our society is going away from it because we have cell phones and we don't have to talk with people anymore. And so people are running from conflicts. They're running from one-on-one speaking. They're running away from eye contact. We're losing all of the great things. You know, my parents talk about it all the time, and yours probably do too. It's like, back in my day, you know, we played outside. It's true. Like, that's when you learn to talk with people, when you learn to not like somebody or figure out why you like somebody. And so that's what that major was really good. I also got my master's. I just graduated from it a year ago.
Wow, good for you.
In sports leadership. And
what's that?
That's all the same thing. It's just basically taking the communication major and turning it more specifically into coaching, how to coach, mm-hmm. how to lead teams, how to be a great leader, and how to inspire and create leaders. Mm-hmm. Whether you think that you're born a leader or you mold into being a great leader, it's kind of all the same. It's about, well, what's the qualities and characteristics of both, and just kind of figuring that out. So I think that's even helped me a ton with having the communications major and a sports leadership master's. You know, I've wanted to be a coach forever, and so those two studies and things that I've had to learn have absolutely helped me. And then experience combined with that kind of stuff is why I'm at where I am today.
I feel like most people, when they start out playing something, they want to carry it on. I mean, I talked to Carrillo the other day, and he even told me, like, you know, he just, like, knew he wanted to do this, like, forever and ever, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that's your guy. So, like, you know exactly where I'm coming from.
That is my guy. Did he tell you I was his guy?
Yes. So that's why I kind of, I can see that. I've been getting that from most of, even the players, even. I mean, and then also just, like, going into players, too, though. Have you, like, learned anything from your players? Like, I know they learn things from you because, obviously, you're coaching them, but you can learn a lot from just listening to your players, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Being a player has made me a better coach. No question about it. Like, I've been in their shoes. I've been in their seat. I've tied the same cleats, and I've walked out and been in the same exact environment. So it helps me being a coach, because I would never ask a player of mine to do something that I would never do, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, and what I tell them all the time is, I'm going to push them. I'm going to be really intense. I'm going to demand a lot, and there's going to be a ton of pressure, because that's what a game day is like, and that's what life is like when you have to go back home and you're going through something. Mm-hmm. And there's pressure. Life is a lot of pressure. Life is a lot of demand. These guys know nothing about it. They're in, our head coach calls college Disneyland. Like, they're in, there's food everywhere. They get all the gear in the world. They get a beautiful stadium and a turf field. The balls are pumped every day. They have great teammates, and they have money to go to college. Like, they're spoiled. And so when the scoreboard turns on and the clock starts ticking down, that's when you got to put out a fire, and you got to do it together, and it's very intense, and it's demanding, and there's a ton of pressure and stress. Mm-hmm. And so I did that as a player. I did that in college. I did it after college. And so helping them with that, showing them how to navigate it, showing them how to deal with it, is almost more important than anything else when you're out there together. But like I said, I would never ask them to do anything I wouldn't do myself, or that I didn't think that they could do. Because then that's not me being a good role model, good coach, good mentor, or a good leader.
Yeah, for sure. So how was it for you post-grad? I mean, where did you even look? Because I know some people or some players that I've talked to, like, they do want to do sports beyond college and, like, not even just playing, because obviously it's, like, recreational, right, after that. But, like, what did you look for when you were looking at your post-grad, like, career-wise? Like, did Dominican reach out to you? Did you know people from Dominican?
Yeah.
What were you doing career-wise?
Yeah, it was a tough spot because I graduated kind of when COVID was still happening.
Yeah.
And so I graduated, came back, played in places like Madison, Wisconsin, Indy, and San Diego. So I was there playing for a little bit, never signed anywhere because I knew I wanted to come back and finish my degree and play my last year at Wheaton if COVID ever stopped and school was going to start back up, and if they were going to, because you didn't know if soccer was going to happen again. I mean, COVID, no one knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So that was a really rough time. And then applying for jobs right after that, I knew I wanted to play for as long as I could to be a great coach. And coaching was always the end goal. And playing was just going to be a cherry on top. If I played, great. If I didn't, it didn't matter. I wanted to get right into coaching. Because I have a passion for leading this age group, like seniors in high school and above. So basically just college students, like
young adult,
like where they know what I'm talking about, where they're facing real life issues, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But applying for jobs is just the worst thing. And you're probably going to experience that. Like, the top two worst things in life are probably moving and applying for jobs. Mm-hmm. It's just the worst. And so I did that, but the soccer coaching world is very small. Everybody knows everybody. And so I had, you know, two or three recommendations for this place, and was told to apply, and everything just kind of took off from there, and we haven't looked back. But it's been awesome. This is, you know, exactly where I want to be. It's been great. The people are great. The environment is great. It's a wonderful school. It's got one of the best business degrees ever, and it's got championship level soccer and the studies to back it up. Mm-hmm. And you could be the ultimate student athlete. I know that's so cliche.
Very.
But it is true. Mm-hmm. And nothing I say is ever a lie, and I never have to lie about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would. I would never do that. But it's all truth when I'm touring families around, touring recruits around. It's so easy to sell the school because everything's so true and right in front of you. And our players are our best recruiters, because
mm-hmm.
they could just say their experiences, what happens, and they'll be straight up and real about it. And so the culture is great. They're able to tell our players, they're able to tell incoming players, they're able to tell incoming commits, they're able to tell incomers and recruits. And so the cycle just keeps going.
What do you think sets you apart? I mean, we talked about how, like, you prefer D3, right? But some of these kids that you're getting recruits for, some of them have gotten offers from, like, D2s too.
Sure.
So, like, how do you...
And Division I.
Right. So how do you convince them, like, this is where you need to be? Like, does that kind of correlate to what you just said about the environment? Or, like, because those are really big differences.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's about fit. It's about the best fit. I mean, when I was a kid, I even had offers from different places and then toured a D3 school. And it was tighter. It was a bit smaller. It was more personable.
Yeah.
It was more specific. It was more detailed. And I loved the coach. And the coach was a proven winner. And that's exactly how I feel here. Like, obviously, we won the conference last year. We won the tournament and played in a national tournament. So, and in the past 17, 18 years, I think we've won the conference 13 times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, numbers also don't lie. You could show things to certain people. And none of that is a coincidence, because it's generations of players coming through the program, winning their own trophies. Every year the team is different. So it's not like, you know, it was a one-off or something like that. So it's very easy to tell the school. And then one of our big words is family, and I know that that's also a cliche, and a lot of other teams have that, but we do a lot of things here where, you know, the guys get to know each other. There's absolutely no phones in the cafeteria. And then what I like to do in the spring when it's not so busy in the fall is, you know, I kind of call it sending the guys on dates with each other. And they go one-on-one, or they go in groups of three.
Mm-hmm.
And they do something that is not soccer related at all. Maybe they go grab a bite to eat. Maybe they go grab dollar tacos down the street on a Tuesday or something like that. Or they're going to Top Golf, or they're doing something. They do it once a week, and I switch up the groups every week. Or I let the captains in on it, and they can kind of decide. But we've gotten such great feedback with that to where the guys are learning more about each other. I'll pair up a senior and a freshman sometimes, or a junior and a junior who aren't in the same, you know, hall, or one's a commuter, one's a resident, so they don't really know that much about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that, and they'll just get to know each other, and they know a lot more about each other. And then we get on the field, you know, that helps them a lot. The gel,
yeah.
Chemistry is another buzzword that I hate using, but it helps.
It does, yeah.
I think our guys are maybe a little too close to where they only talk to each other. I want to work on them. It's, you know, again, kind of a paradox where it's like you want them to talk with everybody, but you also want them to talk with each other. So
mm-hmm.
you kind of, you know, pick and choose your moments. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important, especially in a team sport. You all need to be doing your job in order to get it done, right? It's not just on one person, per se. But I did want to talk a little bit about your last game that you guys just had, which was against MSOE.
Yeah.
So how do you guys think, or how do you think that your players did this past weekend? I mean, you guys obviously had a lot of good things. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you think that they should tweak. I mean, what's your review on that?
Yeah. Definitely a step forward, I think. They went out there and tried to execute a game plan. They were thrown in maybe different positions that they don't normally play, maybe a different formation, playing away from home. You know, got to take the bus up to Milwaukee.
Right.
Play away, play a team that we beat in the conference championship to book our ticket to the national tournament last year, so there's a lot of bad blood there. You know, it's a big game, and you need big players in big games. That's just how it goes. And going down 1-0 in the first half and then leading into halftime is a really tough thing, especially away from home. And you need leaders, and you need grown-ups, and you need men, and you need your best players. And so I thought that we responded very, very well after halftime, scoring a goal, making it 1-1 just after the half, and then switching up the tactic a little bit and grabbing a second goal on the road, and then being able to close out that game. Our keeper, Shane, made some great, great saves. And then Olek and Oscar up top put two away. And then win 2-1 on the road is such a tough thing to do, especially in this conference. And that's just how it is. We're going to get every team's best.
Do you have, like, an anticipated game coming up, would you say, or would you say, like, they're all?
The game we're looking at is tomorrow against IIT.
Okay.
You always got to look at the game in front of you. Because once you start looking at the table and the schedule and the standings, you lose sight of what's in front of you, whether it's a trap game or not, and you lose focus and concentration. And that's a big, big thing in our program is the discipline and the focus and the concentration to look one day at a time. There's constant movement within the team one day at a time. Either you're in the top group or in the second group. And the guys in the second group are trying to earn spots in the first, and the guys in the first group are looking to keep their spot. So it's constant competition. And when you start looking 3 or 4 days ahead, you could either slip and fall or catch a good break and rise up. And so that's just been a constant theme for this year, and we're going to keep that going. So we're looking forward to tomorrow at 4 o'clock at home, IIT. That's our first worry, and not worry, but challenge that's ahead of us, and we're ready to attack it.
Awesome. Do you have any memories with your players, like any fun ones that you want to share that happened on the bus or during practice? Do you have, like, any guys in the team that are, like, the jokesters or, like, the silly ones?
Yeah, we definitely do. Bus rides, I let them, you know, talk and do whatever they want. on the bus. I was a player, and I liked the bus rides too. So, mm-hmm. And I know how much fun those were. I remember as a player, you remember the bus rides and the hotels.
Hotels,
the
yeah,
most, I, like I've the trips.
That. Yeah.
Like that's just what you remember the most as a player, and like the times before and after training is what you remember the most. And so I kind of let them lead that and let them have that to themselves because, you know, no one wants the coach in on everything. I know I didn't sometimes as a player, and I'm learning that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the best memory was winning the conference championship last year. That was my first one as a coach, and that was just surreal. We had a great team. We had a ton of adversity. It was a year where we either tied or lost three. Lost once and tied twice in conference. Lost twice and tied once. And we got to play the teams that nicked us a little bit in the season in the tournament. And I can't remember when that's ever happened. And so we got to play against the teams that we lost or tied to during the regular season and go out and beat them. And so that was incredible. I remember one game last year, at Aurora. I mean, it's a rivalry, some say, but if you check the history, it's not a rivalry.
Yeah. You have somebody on your team from Aurora now, right? A transfer?
From Aurora.
David Shalich.
He was from Triton.
Oh, I thought he was from Benedictine.
Aurora. Yeah. He's a local guy. He lives right here.
Transfers. I mean, how was that too? I mean, you mentioned you're freshman, but like, how do you get your transfers acclimated to the team too? Is it like the same protocol with like your freshmen, or because they've already been in college? So.
Yeah, transfers are tough. They're a little bit tougher because they're coming from another program with their own standards and their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some programs are happy with making the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Not here. So the standards change, and I would argue it's a bit harder or more difficult to switch from program to program where you have to unlearn your old ways and learn new ways than it is for a freshman who doesn't know anything about college to come in and just learn one thing right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
That's much, much easier.
Yeah.
And it's an easier transition, whether the gap is big or small. They're learning one thing. It's much harder for transfers to come in and unlearn old ways and learn new ways, in my opinion.
No, yeah. I mean, I think that's with anybody in a new environment, right? They have to get used to new people. Obviously, they're listening to you and Bauman now, so it's a little bit different because you guys are completely different people, completely different coaching styles. But, I mean, obviously, there is a really great result from that because you guys are doing really good this season. So I guess to kind of just wrap up, but, like, what advice would you give your players, I guess, like, coming from somebody who has played, who's coaching them, or even just advice that you would give yourself, your younger self?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been a part of your life for a very long time, so I think that, like, looking back on things like that, you're kind of like, wow, like, maybe I should have been doing that.
Yeah. Man, my guys get so sick and tired of me probably coaching them and giving them life lessons all the time. But I'll say it here. It's what I tell them all the time. One, entitled to nothing, grateful for everything. You know, nobody has an ego. And if you do, you got to leave it before you enter the field.
Mm-hmm.
Personality is so much different than ego. You can have a personality, and I encourage it, but ego has to go. And just be grateful for everything. The sun is out today. We get to play soccer. You get 4 years here. Don't waste it. And then, no offense, take no offense. I tell my guys, I wish I held more people accountable, no matter how old I was in college and then playing after. I really wish I did. And those are the teams that end up going further when you have player-to-player accountability and guys start holding each other to the same standard. And then lastly, you know, being someone that you can absolutely count on is just priceless. You need those type of players. You need those people in life or in soccer. You have to know what you're going to get out of somebody every single time. You have to know that someone's going to show up and work. You have to know that someone's going to have a great attitude about everything. You don't have to smile. all the time, but you have to have a great attitude and you have to be an awesome, awesome teammate. Like, for me, I worked really hard and gave my best all the time because my dad did, or my mom did.
Mm-hmm.
And I could always count on him. And a lot of these guys have parents. If you were to poll the room and say, write down someone that you look up to, we've got 44 guys. I bet you 44 guys would turn in a note card with their mom or their dad's name on it. And so you need to be somebody that you can count on. And that's actually a mindset shift from proving people wrong, like having a chip on your shoulder. You don't need a chip on your shoulder. You're here at Dominican. If you weren't here, you wouldn't be, you know, like, you're a good player and that's why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a good player, why do you need a chip on your shoulder? Be a great teammate along with being a good player. Start proving people right instead of proving people wrong. Prove your coaches right why you should be playing. Prove your teammates right all the time by working really hard and that you deserve to be out there every single time. Prove your teammates right by being a great teammate on the sideline, being the first person to high five somebody when they sub off, and the first to encourage somebody when you get on the field. Like, it's just that kind of stuff that is cliche, but what separates a lot of good teams from great teams, and that's the fine line that we're at right now in this conference and what we've kind of built. But I think our guys are doing a great job of it. I think we've got great leadership. They're learning. No leader's perfect. Our captain's job is to hold people accountable. Seniors are supposed to lead. And then freshmen and sophomore and some juniors need to learn how to follow really, really well and not kind of do their own thing or lead their own ship because everybody's going the same way. But I know that's a lot, and that's a lot of advice, and they're sick of me hearing it. If they listen to this, they're going to probably skip that part. But because I say it all the time. I say it all the time. But just being someone who's tough and being a man, mm-hmm. and going out and doing your job. That's really it.
No, that's good advice. That's really good advice. I guess to just kind of like reiterate everything that Adrian just said, but I think when you're going into anything, not even just soccer or whatever sport that you play, that you should put your best foot forward and you should want to do better for yourself, right? I mean, me and him can both agree on that.
Right.
But yeah, so tomorrow they do play IIT. You can kind of give the details on that a little bit.
Yeah, home game. So 4 o'clock, IIT's a good conference game. New coach this year, a little bit new of a system. So just been watching a little bit of them, seeing how we play, how we match up, our strengths, our weaknesses, and putting the puzzle together and going out and just competing. So it'll be fun.
For sure. Well, thank you very much for your time, and then we're going to let you go now.